Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Smart Marks Wrestling Podcast presented by TheSportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. We're going to have Brandon join us here in a minute to talk all things Raw, SmackDown, AEW, and of course this Sunday's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. That is this episode of the Smart Marks Wrestling Podcast presented by TheSportster.com and on Anchor.fm. Welcome back to the Smart Marks Wrestling Podcast. Brandon is on the other line. I guess shouldn't say as always, because it hasn't always worked out that way. But in the last 2 weeks, so we're on a little run here. How you doing, Brandon?
Doing great. It's, not as always, like you said. It used to be as always, but we still want it to be as always. But for now, yeah. Welcome back on the as always.
Life happens.
For the one person that is dying to hear me every week.
there's more than one, because it's somebody other than me. Right? It's got to be. Anyway, we're going to get right to it. First, we'll let everybody know where they could find us. Anchor.fm is where we host the show, but there's Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, you know, all these different platforms that you can go on and download the show, rate it. We would love it if you go on Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. That would be awesome. And, of course, thesportster.com, wrestlingwriteoffs.com. You can go to either one of those websites and listen to the show while you read articles about everything we're talking about. We'll get that one out of the way quickly first, but let's cover Raw, SmackDown, which is obviously going to be tonight, and Elimination Chamber is on Sunday, which feels immediately way quicker than it probably normally would have because of the Super Showdown. It's kind of hard to believe that pay-per-view is like in 2 days, eh?
I can't believe it was Super Showdown so close to WrestleMania, but I guess that was their way of like getting the title off of Wyatt and whatever and doing what they were going to do, but... Man, it kind of like killed the whole build of the Road to WrestleMania, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's basically a more glamorized version of Raw or SmackDown. You know, it's got a big cage, right? I mean, they're not going to do anything at this pay-per-view that they wouldn't have done on Raw or SmackDown. They're just doing it inside this big steel structure with a gimmick attached to it. But everything they're doing here is going to WrestleMania. So Royal Rumble starts it all, Raw and SmackDown, Elimination Chamber. Even the Super Showdown show, in a way, leads us to the road to where we're going. So it's just another chapter leading up to the biggest show of the year. It's just one of those things where, I mean, even if you look at the matches, and we'll go through that in a second here, there's not a lot in terms of, you know, main event type stuff. There's the two Elimination Chamber matches, but even that one changed because originally it was going to be Roman Reigns winning the whole thing, and he's not even in one anymore. Now it's a bunch of tag teams in them. And then there's the women's. Match, but there's a Braun Strowman match and a new tag team champions match, which we'll talk about here at, from Raw and stuff like that. So there's a few matches, but nothing like of major note. There's no huge main event on this pay-per-view that you got to be like, oh man, we got to see that, because whatever happens here is going to make a huge dent into WrestleMania. The biggest one being the women's match, right?
Yeah, I would say the women's match is like the biggest one, because obviously you have to look at all the angles within it, let alone what's going to happen long term. Obviously, AJ Styles, Aleister Black is going to be an incredible match. Andrade, Humberto, Carrillo is going to be an incredible match. The tag team match should be good, especially inside of a cage. But you're right, nothing of really like consequence that you're thinking. I mean, I think Super Showdown kind of took care of all that, right? Like everything kind of fell into place with Super Showdown and like the Raw right after Super Showdown. So I don't know. I guess the Elimination Chamber doesn't. It's always felt weird when they made an Elimination Chamber. Like as the concept right after. And it's also weird having a show after the Rumble and in between Mania, just because the Rumble kind of sets things in place, and then you have like, oh, well, the champions used to fight inside the Elimination Chamber at the Elimination Chamber, and they're probably going to win because that match is already set in place, you know? So it was always a weird thing. Now they've kind of taken that out of the equation. Both championship matches are kind of set, like the World Championship matches, just to say, and they're making it more like number one contender stuff, almost, which is... It's not. I mean, obviously, you've got like the Raw Women's Championship match, obviously being the number one contender match, but then you have like the Tag Team Championship match for the SmackDown Championships. That's not just the number one contender, that's the actual title match. But then you have to figure, is that title going to be a pre-card match at the actual WrestleMania card, or is that going to be on the show? So again, you're right. There's not much.
Really, I mean, the tag team matches don't really matter, right? Like in terms of WrestleMania, There's really no one ever goes into WrestleMania looking forward to the tag team matches. Like they're good. They should be on the card. They need a spot. half the time they're on the pre-show. I mean, nobody cares who the champions are going into WrestleMania and who really comes out the champions at WrestleMania. So these matches at the Elimination Chamber are going to be neat, but whatever happens here, whatever the finish, no one really cares, right? It's not it's not going to affect the biggest show of the year in any major way. Now, that said, the women's match, we assume Shayna Baszler is going to be the shoe in here, but now there's news this week that Vince is rethinking himself. So who knows, shocking, right? Like, though, yeah, those types of things are interesting, and they make the pay-per-view possibly worth watching. But again, like Braun Strowman, does it matter if he's the Intercontinental Champion going into WrestleMania? Probably not. Do we expect the Street Profits to even be the Tag Team Champions going into I don't know. Right? Like, there's not a whole lot that's riding on this pay-per-view. But anyway, we'll work our way into that, starting with Raw. I guess one of the biggest news this week on Raw was that there are new Tag Team Champions, and the Street Profits are now the Raw Tag Team Champions. And they beat Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy, who are getting a rematch at Elimination Chamber. What was your take on the Street Profits winning the titles on Monday?
It's cool. I enjoy seeing them as champions. Obviously, they're one of the most interesting acts in the business today, whether it's in the ring or just, you know, in their promos backstage. That's one thing I do like about WWE more than a lot of other like wrestling products is their backstage promo work, like, you know, the Fashion Files and the Street Profits, stuff like that. It can be so good if you have the right people in place. Like, this could be a way to get people who maybe, you know, they're not getting the most time out of their actual in-ring stuff because there's so many people and only so much time. They give them a chance to really excel on the mic, and the Street Profits are an example of that, who just took it and ran with it. And we know they're good in the ring. Obviously, we saw them in NXT forever. Rollins and Murphy winning the titles in the first place was a funny one anyway.
But, I was never a fan. You know, like, I don't know why the Viking Raiders aren't still the tag team champions.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that move. And the putting the I like the Street Profits. They're hit and miss for me. I think of 70% I like them, 30% I'm like, oh my God, these guys are over the top. But to wind up with the Street Profits as the tag team champions at this point is not something I would have done, just because it took the tag team titles off the Viking Raiders, and I don't know why they did that. Like, if you're going to have Murphy and Rollins not be the champions, just leave them on the Viking Raiders. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you should have just left it. But anyway, no, I
think unless they have bigger plans, though. Maybe there are bigger plans with the Street Profits here. Maybe they didn't like the Viking Raiders, which is a very Vince McMahon move to, like, look at something and say, oh, you're the champion. Okay, we've given it a few weeks, and now we're kind of over it.
Well, the Street Profits are very much a Paul Heyman project. Mm-hmm. Right, like he likes them. He called them up from NXT to do all those backstage segments you were talking about before they ever had a match. I mean, they had like 8-9 weeks of backstage segments before they ever hopped in the ring on Raw, right?
And it was great
part of NXT at the time.
But I was super entertained every time.
Sure, but and then you get into these SNL spoof skits, which I'm not 100. I don't know yet if I love them or I hate them. Some of their stuff is a little over top of the. But I mean, yeah, you're right. They could have a big plan for them. I just was
or
a little
Paul
shocked.
Heyman does, like specifically.
But we'll see. Like it was an interesting choice to do that on a non-advertised tag match on a Raw. Then all of a sudden they're the champ. You know, it's kind of weird. But that was big news on Monday. And then of course, Randy Orton RKO'd Beth Phoenix, which will lead to the return of Edge this week. He's confirmed to be back this Monday. I've liked this buildup. I like Randy Orton as this heel character. I think this is when he's at his absolute best. I liked the Beth Phoenix stuff, even though that was totally predictable. I wasn't expecting the whole I love you, this is why I'm doing this to you storyline. If you saw that, he was kind of like, yeah, well, I did this to Edge because I love him so much and I think he should be at home being a dad. Like, he's going to get killed in the ring if he comes back. You know what I mean? Like, he's not healthy. He shouldn't be here. So I put him out so that he could go home again.
Like, yeah, that or was like good. This is also what's gonna happen. Like, I'm giving you like the most brutal beatdown because this is letting you know like this is the extent of what can happen to you.
Right.
So yeah. And I'm your friend. Imagine if I wasn't your friend.
Yeah, it was interesting. I wasn't expecting that. I did not like it. I thought it was neat, but I just didn't see that coming. I just thought he was bitter about something or whatever, but no, he just was telling him I'm sending you home because I think that's where you should be. The RKO was totally predictable, but it was neat at the same time. Yeah. And you know, now Edge is going to come back with, you know, daggers ready to go, right? Like, he's just going to want to kill Orton. So the build up towards WrestleMania has been very good. After the fact that it's after the pay-per-view is good because it's now Edge will probably be on every week until WrestleMania, which is good. So it was good. What you like the angle?
I love the angle for a few reasons. One, the build, like you said, has been perfect. You know, starting the Rumble, Raw, they hug, they RKO's, the concertos. When he stood on the top rope, like he's going to jump on the chair, I was like, you can't do that and fake that with a healthy person, let alone someone who just came back from, like, a triple neck fusion. That was like, perfect right there. Then they had the whole, like, him coming out and saying he can't do this. Matt Hardy confronting him, who obviously Matt Hardy and Edge have their very strong history with each other. The Beth Phoenix stuff, like you said, too. You didn't expect this angle with Orton, but also, like, who knows? If Orton does something to anybody, do you even need a reason at this point? Like, if Orton just turns heel and, like, attacks someone, I'm like, yeah, that's Randy Orton. That's his character. So that's a pretty cool, but like...
I guess you only need a reason if you've come out 3 weeks in a row and said you're going to explain yourself, and then you don't, and you leave. Which is
He opened
it
for sure.
Show, but, yeah.
But so they had general, to have some like, sort he did of, it originally. Yeah. Originally, I was like, yeah, I mean, this is cool. Like, I don't even need a reason. But, yeah, no, it's been perfectly set up. And also, because they've made it so personal, and also, like, hey, I attacked your wife and everything, now Edge doesn't have to go out and wrestle a 10-15-minute match in his first real match back other than the Rumble. Because even the Rumble, you don't have to be the main focal point. Like, that's is a known thing with the Rumble, where you have your highlight moments, your spotlight moments, then you kind of go to the corner, and you sit down on the ground for a little bit, recuperate, and let someone else take the spotlight. No one has to get exhausted, whether you're in there for an hour or you're in there for 10 minutes. In a one-on-one match, you have to, you know, be there and be alert at all times. Now they can kind of make it a fight, and it's not just a match. And we saw Edge do that with Matt Hardy years ago. We also saw Randy Orton and Triple H build up to that, and then just have a normal wrestling match years ago. I think it was Triple H 25 or whatever it was. So maybe they're going to get a, you know, second chance at making Randy Orton have a fight at WrestleMania and not just be, oh, well, I attacked your wife and I broke into your house with Triple H. I don't even remember that storyline or not, but it was so brutal, and then they just had a wrestling match. Yeah, and everyone was like, what is this? Jericho and Omega did it right. They wanted a wrestling match. Then they got so brutal with each other, and like they couldn't even stand in the same room as each other through the build-up, that they totally scrapped their original plans for their match, and they're like, let's just have a fight. So this gives Edge a chance to not wrestle as much as he might need to in his first match, and now he can kind of just like slowly get back into the groove of things, especially if he's there for like 3 years or whatever it is, like you said.
I get the sense, though, that he's been wrestling. You know, like that he's been he's been in the ring, whether it's at the Performance Center or somewhere else over these last 3 weeks or 4 weeks that he's been gone. I get the sense that their match at WrestleMania is going to be a good one, and that Edge is good to go. You know, like, one, I don't think he's in there if he's not, but two, I think he's got something to prove. Like, I didn't come back to be, you know, and no offense to Kurt Angle or those guys that came back that just couldn't go at that point because they were too old and couldn't move. I think Edge can go, right? So I think that's going to be a really good match. You mentioned this when you were talking about it, so we should probably shift gears just a little bit. Maybe we'll go back to Roth if there's anything you want to talk about. But you said Matt Hardy in there, and he's been in the news like crazy this week because he's officially done with WWE. We know that now. They confirmed it. He confirmed it. He went on video and said, yeah, I'm done. I'm a free agent. Everybody figured he'd show up this Wednesday on Dynamite and be the leader of the Dark Order. Well, they didn't even reveal a leader of the Dark Order. So, one, I'm going to ask you, do you think Matt Hardy should go to AEW? And then, two, the big news coming out of Wednesday wasn't Matt Hardy, it was somebody else, and we'll go there in a second. So, first, with Matt Hardy, what did you think about the video? What do you think about the fact that he's done? Where do you think he's going to go? Where would you like to see him go?
Yeah, so obviously you have the Young Bucks show up in his show. You have him, he's going to make his appearance at the big event or whatever it is. Is it a big event? Is that what it's officially called?
I think it's called the signing thing. Yeah, yeah, he's not going anymore.
He's not going.
He's been.
I thought he was
taken out of it now. But from what I understand, he's been removed. But I don't know that for sure.
Anyway, regardless, I think AEW makes sense for him. I mean, where else could he possibly go that would make any sense at all? Is he going to go to Ring of Honor at this point? Is he going to go to like just a bunch of like indie circuits? I know him and Jeff did that before they like officially re-signed with WWE. They won like all the tag team championships across the board. But right now, why wouldn't he go to AEW? They have the money and the resources and the audience and just the general size of their show to really make... If you want to have a Broken Universe come back, you can do that. And we know that he and the Young Bucks are buddies. We know that he endorsed them. He and Jeff both said, hey, these guys are incredible and they're the best tag team on the planet. Which, coming from the Hardys, is probably the best compliment you can ever receive, right? And I don't think they would say that about just anybody, because if that's the case, we would have heard them say it about other people in general. So it makes sense. The foundation's already there. Whether or not it's the Dark Order, I don't know. But it would be cool to see him there. I'd be happy with it, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you want him to go to AEW, you think he's going to go to AEW.
Yes.
Are you pissed that WWE's let him go, or do you think it's just, it was never going to work?
I'm not mad if they let anybody go anymore, because I don't think, you know, they used a lot of their people correctly, or at least let them be, like, creatively in control. Even Matt Hardy, who we kind of saw, like, started to have it, it was kind of like a half-go, half-stop attempt at being broken or woken or whatever you want to call it. And it just wasn't a good fit. In NXT, he almost would have been better at NXT. I know there's like the conversations about him maybe going there at the end, or like the speculation that it would make a lot of sense. But if WWE lets somebody go, I almost say good for them. Let them go somewhere else and really like show what they can do. You know, the paycheck might not be as good, but AEW, I haven't really heard a complaint about paychecks not being good yet. So for Matt Hardy, a guy at this point in his career, he can probably still get paid well enough and also be name value.
Well, he doesn't care about the money, at least if you listen to what he's saying, right? Like, he's made enough money.
But he's still going
to
get it.
Yeah. And nobody wants to work for free, but he's looking at creative whatever. Personally, I would have liked him to go to NXT for two reasons. One, I think that in NXT, he would have had the chance to be creatively free and do some stuff.
Right.
And two, I really, really, really would have loved for NXT to be able to shove that back at WWE and say, look what we can do with a guy that you guys dropped the ball with.
And by that, you mean Triple H.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Or Shawn Michaels or Road Dogg or the guys who were in there writing the stuff for NXT and really working on making those characters important would have been like, okay, Matt, tell us what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. And here's our ideas. And how do we do this? And blah, blah, blah. Whereas WWE's like, nah, yeah, I don't think so. And you probably could have seen whatever he's going to do, whether it's, you know, it's hard to be Matt Hardy or broken Matt Hardy or whatever, right? Whatever character he decided he wanted to do and NXT was able to help him make that a reality, they could have gone back to WWE and said, holy moly, like, did we ever drop the ball with this guy? Good thing he's not gone. Yeah. What else can we do with some of these guys that we're not using, right? And then you would have had... I know, but they need to start. And that's...
Yeah.
That's why the Matt Hardy stuff would have been really good if he had gone to NXT, because then they would have internally looked at themselves and said, holy man, we got to figure this out. Because if we can't do it, but these guys can and they work for us and we're not listening, like, we need to start listening to each other or whatever, right? And Matt Hardy could have been that hurdle, but I'm okay with the fact that if he's going to go to AEW, and I don't know that he is, it seems like he's going to, but,
right,
you know, they'll do something with him and he'll have a lot of, I mean, especially since we talked last week about how they book stuff or don't book stuff. They all just sit down in a room, the wrestlers, and go, let's do this. And then they figure it out. And there might be a lot of heads working on the same thing, but it isn't. Okay, so anyway, Matt Hardy, AEW, is where we probably both think he's going to wind up. We're cool with it. We thought he was going to be there Wednesday. He didn't show up on Wednesday, but Jake the Snake Roberts did. Holy crap. Like, where did that guy come from? Like, no one saw that coming at all. And I mean, everybody's saying he looks good. I thought he looked pretty good. Like, I didn't think he was like, oh my gosh, he looks wonderful. Like, not like the last time he returned with the Shield in the ring, but his promo was bang on. Like, he was so good in that promo, and he drops this whole, the darkness is coming, and they're here to take Cody's piece of the AEW pie, and there's going to be a rising of the ashes from the Phoenix, and I don't know, man. Like, do you think it's, the buzz right now is it's, you know, Luke Harper, Brody Lee, could be Lance Archer, might even be Matt Hardy. I don't know. What do you think it is? What do you think of this segment, and who do you think's coming?
So that segment was amazing. When Jake Roberts first came out, I was like, man, is AEW just becoming TNA? And then Jake Roberts spoke, and I was like, oh my God, Jake Roberts is one of, like, this is just pro wrestling, right? This is pro wrestling at its finest. He's so good on the mic. I don't think we've seen someone like him on the mic, really, like the cap, like Paul Heyman, I guess, is an example of someone who, when they speak, you just listen to every one of their words. They just, you can't stop listening. Like, it's magic. One of his lines was, a wise man once told me never ever turn your back on someone you respect or you're afraid of. Like, as he was turning back,
he's walking
Cody
away from him. Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, just his voice. And it almost sounded like he was going to mess up early on in his promo, but he didn't. Or he was going to, and he caught himself immediately. He's so good on the mic. This guy's gone through so much to get back to where he is right now. And, I mean, for his age and for what he's gone through, this guy looks good. And DDP, man, that guy works wonders. You've got two of the top guys in AEW right now. As far as, like, the news cycle goes, as far as Chris Jericho and then Jake Roberts, who largely have DDP to thank for this because of his yoga program, right? So good for him. Good for Jake Roberts. Good for AEW to capitalize on this, and I guess we'll see where it goes. But I thought it was awesome.
Okay, so here's my question. The one thing that nobody seems to be talking about is the fact that Cody is part of this deal. So if it's Lance Archer, if it's Brody Lee, a.k.a. Luke Harper, if it's Matt Hardy, like, none of those people really have history with Cody. Like, there's no background there that this whole... I mean, if we're supposed to listen to every word that Jake said, and there's a real meaning behind everything that he said, who has an interest in taking Cody's piece of the AEW pie?
Like, I mean, there's got to be... Jake Roberts? I don't think Jake Roberts had any reason to be there either, but...
You know what I mean? Like, who does he represent that's specifically targeting Cody Rhodes? Like, that's what I don't get about this whole promo, is that maybe this is somebody that none of us think is coming, but has a massive history with Cody, and maybe feels entitled in some way to the AEW stuff. Like, could it be a Marty Scurll? Like, maybe. You know what I mean? Because he was part of the Elite. He was part of that group. He should have been one of the original guys jumping over in AEW at the time, but he was still in ROH, and he would fit with Jake. You know what I mean? Like, he's been doing his Ring of Honor stuff, but I think that there's, and that's where he signed. But from what I understand, his new deal allows him to work with AEW. So if that's the case, like, is this somebody that we don't see coming, right? Like, I can't get over this whole Cody. Like, Cody tends to put himself in some of these main storylines a lot, but there's got to be a reason he said that. And I don't know what it is. And none of the guys that we're all rumored to think is coming makes any sense with Cody in that respect. Because Luke Harper doesn't have... Yeah, Luke Harper doesn't have a Triple H. He doesn't claim to any of the AEW pie. Neither does Lance Archer. Neither does Matt Hardy. Right? Like, right. None of these guys have any claim to AEW in any way. So why would they want Cody's piece of it?
Well, it sounds like it's Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah.
No, I don't know who. I agree with you. It sounds like they're building something into this.
I just think people are overlooking that part.
Maybe I was overlooking it, and now I don't know if you're overthinking it or if I'm overlooking it. And I guess we'll find out whenever they build into it, but it's cool that we don't know.
But what I'm saying is, all we do is we dissect these promos from AEW and the videos of Matt and Young Bucks in the same thing, and we read into everything, and then all of a sudden we choose not to read into that. Like, it doesn't... That's one of the things that people like about AEW so much, is that everything has meaning.
Ridiculous, yeah.
Right? Like, they don't say it unless they absolutely have something planned. Mm-hmm. And so, why would you say that? Right? That's where I'm wondering, right? So I'm interested to see where that goes. But yeah, I thought it was very, very well done. It was one of the better Dynamite episodes in a long time for me. And so I was pleased with it. Anyway, okay. So SmackDown, we should cover a few little items from that tonight. This is going to be a big SmackDown. Like, I don't know about wrestling-wise, but like, the NWO is going to be there. Yeah. And you've got like all sorts of crazy stuff going up, setting up for the Elimination Chamber on Sunday, and then maybe... you know, WrestleMania and whatever, but it's like a lot of stuff happening. And of course, we got the Austin announcement for March 16th. He's coming back. I don't know what...
Which is 316, by the way.
Yeah, March 16th, right? But the NWO, eh? What do you think they're going to do? Is it just a Hall of Fame nod, homage to their being inducted, or is there actually something happening here, do you think?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't really... SmackDown is its own world right now with, you know, it's roller coaster booking, and they're the show that really has like, oh well, we're bringing in this team, we're bringing in The Rock back, and we're bringing this guy here. So I guess we'll see. I'm excited to see them, right? I think nostalgia actually that are cool, but it's going to be the same thing as usual, where they come out and it's going to be them talking, and then that's going to be someone else coming out. Maybe they drop them, maybe it's a friend, I don't know, but it's usually a pretty solid
I like, just hope they make some unexpected comments, like Scott Hall we talked about on Twitter. He teased, you know, tasing Goldberg after he won the title at the Super Showdown, because that's how he beat Goldberg the first time, right? Yeah. So they make some sort of side comment that no one's expecting. They'd be like, ooh, that was interesting, right? Firefly Funhouse will be on tonight, and he's going to address John Cena. So it should be an interesting show for sure. I don't know how much eventful stuff is going to come out of it, but there's a lot of nostalgia showing up on the show. Yeah. Elimination Chamber-wise, let's really run through that quickly. We talked about it and teased the Shayna Baszler stuff and the rethinking, but it's Natalya, Liv Morgan, Shayna Baszler, Asuka, Ruby Riott, and Sarah Logan.
Yeah.
I don't expect anybody but Shayna Baszler to win this thing, but now that they're talking about how her match with Kairi Sane went on Monday and that there wasn't a good response to it, and they're worried she's maybe not a main event person, they can't possibly take her out of this Becky Lynch program, can they?
Well, I don't want to see Natalya, Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, and Sarah Logan are being set up right now in some way for WrestleMania, or at least
like
the
former
undercard or
Riott
something.
Squad triple
Yeah,
threat match.
exactly.
Yeah.
Asuka's a possibility, but like they ended that so perfectly.
Well, and they've had her wrestle Becky Lynch so many goddamn times now.
Yeah, but and it was perfect. The ending was incredible. So why would you why would you change that? Shayna Baszler is the only answer here.
Yeah.
So I would.
And
I
don't
Shayna
know.
Baszler.
I think whether he's getting cold feet or not, I don't think we should be looking too much. It's Dave Meltzer, right? That guy can be kind of a boob. So it's one of those things where he's just saying that, and it's probably like, oh, that's not a good reaction. Oh, we better figure this one out. But no, we're not going to take her out of WrestleMania. Like that's probably where he was going with that. Hopefully, instead of saying, "Oh my God, everything's got to change because of the crowd reaction to one match and one building,"
and also like, this crowd that reacted is definitely going to change our opinions, even though we didn't listen with Roman Reigns or John Cena or insert ex wrestler here who the crowd booed or cheered, and we didn't listen to Zack Ryder and Daniel Bryan and this guy and that guy. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, so we're both still picking Shayna.
I can't believe
Baszler.
I almost didn't mention Dolph Ziggler. Well, that was close. Sorry, it's in my contract. I have
to. You'll get a chance in a second because he's in the next match. So, picking Baszler?
Yeah, 100%. That's a question.
Okay, so the SmackDown Tag
Team
Championship.
If it's not Baszler, I'm going Ruby Riott. Like, there's no reason other than that would make sense to me as a fun match.
Yeah, and she's new and she's getting a push. Okay, SmackDown Tag Team Elimination Chamber match includes Ziggler and Robert Roode. Heavy Machinery, Lucha House Party, Usos, I don't know what you call them, Miz and Morrison, the Dirt Sheet or whatever, and New Day. Yeah, so who are you picking in this one?
I mean, it would be stupid to take the titles off of Miz and Morrison unless they specifically wanted the titles off of New Day. But, like, why would you want it off of New Day at Super Showdown if you could have just done it in the Elimination Chamber? So I would say it has to be Miz and Morrison, right? Mathematically speaking, who else makes sense here?
The only other thing I could possibly think is that you do Heavy Machinery for the pop of it all. But the Otis stuff with Dolph Ziggler screams too much of a singles thing happening, with the other guys on the outside of the ring helping out. So I'm with you. I think it's got to be Miz and Morrison, especially Morrison being so new, just putting the titles on them to take it off right away. I think eventually Miz and Morrison will probably fight each other.
Which
but
is cool.
I think it's way too soon for that. So I'm
with
you.
Do you think they're setting that up for maybe Mania?
Still think that's still too soon.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, now I've changed my opinion. I don't know.
It could be, but I don't know.
It could be the Usos. The Usos look really hot lately.
Yeah, but they still they're still coming off of being in some hot water, you know what I mean? Like, do you give them the titles right away after all this stuff that they've been sitting out for a long time because they've been sort of been in legal trouble and having their hands slapped and whatever. Like, I don't know if WWE says, okay, well, welcome back, boys. Stop getting in trouble. Here's the titles. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I see that.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I don't think it's as cut and dry. I don't understand why you take the titles off a New Day to then just take it off of Miz and Morrison right away.
Yeah,
but
that's
I'm intrigued,
what I mean.
But I'm intrigued by them wrestling at WrestleMania. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see. They're still my pick, though, just because it makes the most sense.
Yeah, and you can do the whole Miz and Morrison friction angle while they hold the titles if you want to. So
that's fair. We've seen like Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania.
Yep. Okay.
Shawn Michaels and John Cena.
Intercontinental title match. Braun Strowman will now be facing. It was just supposed to be Shinsuke Nakamura, but now it's Shinsuke Nakamura, Cesaro, and Sami Zayn finally gets back in the ring and wrestles.
Yep.
Do you give this to the three of them now, and you have who's the title holder, or do you keep Strowman with the belt?
Well, if you give it to the three, then that immediately sets up an angle with like Cesaro and Shinsuke and Sami Zayn being, like you said, like kind of a feud, kind of breaks that apart.
That's what I want to see.
That's what I want to see.
I think
as well.
It's way too early to take this title off Strowman, especially since you just gave him his first singles title ever.
By that logic, is the same as Miz and Morrison too,
right? But he's deserved one for so long, right? Yeah. And you can build a singles match with Strowman and someone who doesn't already have a program at WrestleMania, like a big name person, and actually have a bona fide Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania with Strowman. But I do like the idea of these three, Sami Zayn thinking he's entitled to be the title holder, even though he never wrestles and he probably wouldn't do anything in this match on Sunday.
Yeah.
Just walking around with the belt all the time and the other two being like, seriously, what are you doing? Like, we won the thing, not you. Like, why do you, and then them sort of whatever with him. I think that'd be funny. Yeah,
isn't
I'm
it
going
crazy
with,
to you though that one of the best wrestlers on the planet isn't wrestling at all?
I'm going with those three because I like that idea. I don't think it will happen, but I'm rooting for it, so I'm going to pick those three to steal it from Strowman. But logic tells me Strowman keeps it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What did you say there?
No, it's all good. Yeah, I agree with you with what you said and your exact reasoning. Like, exactly what you said. But I was thinking, isn't it crazy that one of the best wrestlers on the planet, Sami Zayn, just isn't wrestling and hasn't wrestled for like a year?
Yeah, he said it was because he's good to go, but they're taking it easy with him because of some injuries. And he can wrestle, and he has actually wrestled on a couple of live shows, but he is just sort of like not wrestling as much.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's crazy, though. Like, I think it's just the decision on their side.
Well, I think part of it is being cautious. You know, but it's not just because they don't want him to wrestle. I think part of it is, like, you can wrestle, but why have you wrestle when you can also be a mouthpiece for these guys? And when we need you to wrestle, we'll have you wrestle, but let's just keep you rested and healthy and until you're really good to go, and then we'll pop you back in. I think that's partially what's going on.
How long is the injury? Like, what's even wrong with him right now?
I can't remember exactly what he had happened to him, but there was strains or something, like some stuff that put him out for a little while.
Yeah, but that was forever ago.
Yeah, but it's like, I think he's still lingering, right? Okay. I think he's good. If you were to give it is this guy 100%? He's probably like 90, sure. You know, 85, 90. So they're just like, well, what's the point in forcing this on you if you've got a little ways to go when you can just keep talking, and that works for us too. So that's probably what they're doing. Okay, and I don't know if this is the last match, but the Street Profits and Seth Rollins, Buddy Murphy, which I guess is just now Murphy, not Buddy Murphy anymore.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to adjust to.
We sort of alluded to this one at the beginning. I'm going to go, I'll say Murphy and Rollins win it back. I don't want to see that happen, but I just get the sense that they want Rollins holding something.
Sure, that makes sense. I'm still going to go Street Profits, though. For the, again, same reason as last time, why would you do this? Like, why would you take it off just to rotate it back and forth? But we've seen them do that with the tag team titles before, like especially the Raw tag team titles, so maybe you're onto something. But I'm going to say the Street Profits. Or okay. I don't even know if it's a definitive win. I don't know, maybe there's interference in some way. Maybe the Viking Raiders are involved in this. We'll see.
And Humberto Carrillo versus Andrade for the U.S. title, I'm assuming the U.S. title, or for the Star Spangled Championship is what they're calling it on the WWE.com.
I think it was Humberto winning.
I wonder if they've done
that.
I like
Andrade holding it, though.
Do you think they're doing... I don't know. I just noticed that. Maybe it's not a thing, but do you think they're calling it Star Spangled Championship because neither one of these guys are from the U.S.?
I don't
like,
know.
And this is more like that's a Latino stupid match. Like, it's a silly thing to be doing, but
I have no idea.
Yeah, because on the article it says United States Championship, but the Star Spangled Championship, what they called it on the title. Anyway, that was just a side thought. I'm gonna go with Andrade here.
I mean, he makes sense as a singles champion.
Yeah,
Humberto's been really good, but like he's in the same boat as Andrade, where like he's so good, but you got to kind of build your way up. And right now, Andrade went through what Humberto's going through, as far as, like, you know, establishing yourself as a really good talent on the show. So I would say Andrade wins. I think we're definitely going to see, like, Rey Mysterio and, like, Angel Garza and whatever. But, yeah,
I would say Andrade. Really hoping they build some sort of Latino stable here, whether it's Andrade and Angel Garza with maybe a Cain Velasquez, or it's a good guys Latino stable with Rey Mysterio and Humberto and Cain Velasquez. Like, I really hope they get not the LWO. I don't want to see that. But something where they can really get a group together that represents that audience well, and you can kind of overcompensate for some of Cain Velasquez's weaknesses and some really good in-ring talent with some good promo people, and just have a really good strong group that would be cool to me if they started doing that.
And they've wanted to do something like that for a long time, as far as like getting the Latino audience involved. Well, now they have Andrade, Garza, Mysterio, and Humberto really putting on great shows. There's obviously the Lucha House Party, which I guess we're kind of,
if they treated Lucha House Party differently, like if they treated Lucha House Party in somewhat of a way that AEW treats,
I was gonna say, yeah,
you know, Lucha Dragons, it would be a whole different ball game, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't. They're like a little group, you know, a party group. But
even the best friends who are like a little party group who are just fun are still like fun to watch. Like you still enjoy them.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Last match. I think this is the last match. Aleister Black, AJ Styles. I'm going AJ Styles. I'm going Aleister Black only because The Undertaker shows up.
Okay.
Because you got to set up AJ and Undertaker, right?
And noticeable.
Aleister Black lost on Monday after losing to those three guys, and he got worked. So if Undertaker comes back, costs AJ the match, Aleister Black gets his win, AJ Styles is super pissed at The Undertaker. Undertaker, AJ, set up for WrestleMania.
Do you even think that he comes out, or just like lights go off, lights come on kind of thing? Like,
I don't know if it matters.
Sure.
Somehow AJ's got to be distracted, which gives Aleister Black a chance to give him a black mask, kick him, knock him out, and that's all it takes.
Right? I agree with you, yep. We're all on the same page with like everything on this card pretty much.
We're boring.
We are, yeah. You
know, we argued enough last week. We did.
It was good. Last night was a nice spirited debate. It was good.
Yeah.
You're saying something, I was like, I disagree completely. Yeah. What are you talking about?
You have every right in the world to be wrong. Okay. So,
okay, Orange Cassidy.
There you go. That's right. yeah, I don't know really what else to cover other than maybe a couple little news items or rumors that are going around. Did you see the MJF stuff? Did you see the MJF stuff?
Where he flipped off the
7-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And then Cody responds and says, oh, sorry, you know, let us know when we'll put tickets at will call for your family. When we're in town next, you guys can come to the show for free and we'll come say hi. And MJF's like, F them kids. And then he's like, why don't you just cry about it a little bit more? And then Cody's like, and then some other guy on Twitter was like, oh, you should at least have a disclaimer on your meet and greets. Like, if he's going to do this and flip off little kids, you probably have a note that he's going to do that. And Cody's like, what are you talking about? This wasn't free. You had to pay to meet MJF. Like, this was a paid thing.
Yeah, come on,
and you're meeting MJF. Wrestling. You know who you're meeting. Like,
and also, your kid's not going to be scarred forever because of this. Like,
well,
the dad is
claiming that he thought it was funny until the kid went home and was really bothered by it. Like, he didn't quite understand that it was a joke, that this is MJF's character and this is what he does. Sure. And the kid didn't quite understand that. And I sort of get that. But at the same time, you're bringing
maybe you see it differently as a father than I would, but I don't know. I think it's just whatever. Of course, the kid might be bothered by it today. Is he going to think about it in a week?
Maybe not. And
right,
you should, if you're the parent and you're watching MJF with your kid on AEW television, then you should probably know that this is what MJF does, right? And then you can go, hey, kid, feel special. He just gave you the finger. He's not going to do that for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You are the kid. Like when you're 16, 17, you can tell your friends, like, hey, this happened.
You're a famous buddy. Yeah. Like everybody loves that MJF gave you the finger. This is a good thing. This is not a bad thing.
Yeah, you can spin this as a parent for sure.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. There's also notes that I wrote an article today that apparently John Cena handpicked Bray Wyatt for WrestleMania. That he was given the
Good for John Cena to get to be able to handpick the biggest.
Well,
like,
that was the rumor before. He was coming back to WrestleMania that he got to pick what he wanted to do. And they said, Cena, you want to come back? You tell us what you want to do. And he decided, and I'm not going to suggest for a second this is why everything was thrown up into the air and Goldberg won the title and all that other stuff. I'm not saying that. But I am suggesting that Cena decided he wanted to wrestle Wyatt. And I guess the reason that he wanted to wrestle Wyatt dates back to the Elimination Chamber in 2017 when he lost to Wyatt. And he specifically said, WWE, let him pin me because I think he's your star. He's got to pin me. And then he wanted to wrestle him again on SmackDown the following week and have him pin Cena again, and they wouldn't let it happen. And Cena was like, seriously, this is how you get this guy over. Like, this is absolutely what needs to happen with him right now. He's the hottest thing you got. Let him beat me twice in a row, and he'll be a star forever. And they didn't let it happen, and that's never sat well with Cena because he still thinks that Bray Wyatt is a massive star. And so this part of this coming back to WrestleMania was him wanting to wrong a right in a way and go, the Fiend, Wyatt, whatever he is, he needs to be catapulted through whatever. A win over me is going to help him do that. So he's cleanly going to get pinned at WrestleMania, and he wants Wyatt specifically to be their next big star.
You're saying that, but now watch him beat Cena. Watch Cena beat him.
It could be. You never know. Right? I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know why you would do that. If Cena's not sticking around, what does it make? And he's not fighting for the title, so he has no record to break. You know what I mean? So it doesn't make sense to have Cena win, but you could be right. But that's what I'm hearing. That's what I wrote today, was that this whole story stems back to 2017, which I thought was very interesting. You never know if it's true or not, but it does make a little sense, I suppose, because that was a weird week. I remember it because he beat him, then he fought him again, and then all of a sudden AJ Styles was in the match and Luke Harper attacked Bray Wyatt. It was kind of a weird segment, and it didn't go off the way that you thought the match was supposed to be promoted and advertised, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that makes sense as to why. And then, of course, final news item of the day, PWI has named AJ Styles the Wrestler of the Decade.
100% deserved.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if you're on board with that one.
100%. If it wasn't Dolph Ziggler, it had to be it. No, I mean, the first choice was AJ Styles. I don't think anybody else could even be in the discussion for it.
Somewhere right down around 2,418 is Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, no. I mean, AJ Styles, he's been the rest of the year a few times. He put on, I mean, if it wasn't him, it would be someone like Okada or Omega, right?
That's
Like,
the
you think.
deal, right? Like, that's the hard thing to do when you're just a really, you're a WWE fan and you don't really watch a lot of other stuff. It's really hard. And not that WWE fans wouldn't say AJ Styles is deserving, but they don't know what he did over the last 10 years. They know what he's done over like the last four, you know, but they don't know what he did before that. And what he did before that's even more impressive than what he did when he showed up. Like, he was everywhere, winning everything. And
TNA, Ring of Honor, New
oh my
Japan,
gosh. And he was
the
a
Bullet
huge
Club is
star for
huge.
every single one of those companies, right? Like, it just, he was the man all around the world. He was the best wrestler, the biggest star not in WWE. Like, it was no contest. And then he came over, and everyone's like, oh man, can he float here? Can he make it work? We didn't bring him for a reason. Now we finally did. What's he going to do? And he became top five at WWE, like right off the bat, right?
Instantly. Him
Yeah.
and Jericho was my dream match, and then it happened immediately. I was like, oh, okay. Thank you
Well,
for
and
giving me what I
he
wanted
wins the
right away.
title. He pulls a match with Shane McMahon. He does all sorts of really cool stuff, like with Cena, Kevin. Oh, like, he does top matches with a ton of guys, and you're just like, yep. He deserves everything everyone's been saying about him since he's been away. And this is a guy who's not young. This is a guy who's almost done, right? Like, so he's been around forever and he's still doing it. Yeah. You maybe could make a case for a couple other people, but you have to take into the fact that it's 10 years we're talking about here, like back to 2010. That's really hard to do. Like, most of the guys in WWE right now weren't even near anything in 2010.
That's the thing. If you want to talk about Okada and Omega, what were they doing before 2017?
Yeah.
Were they with Okada was in like, struggling in TNA with like that whole like crossover with New Japan and stuff. Omega was still a junior heavyweight who like got thrusted into the spotlight because AJ Styles left at the same time Shinsuke left. Shinsuke could have been in the mix if he didn't fall off the face of the earth in WWE.
Well, the crazy thing is the other person that you probably have to consider is John Cena.
Jericho. I would say Jericho.
Yeah, but even Jericho had a lull there for a couple years
He
where
did. I agree.
he and then was mostly in WWE. Like,
Yes,
there was that
100%.
time once he left WWE and then he went to New Japan and then he just to AEW. So his last few years were hot, but then there was like 2 or 3 years in WWE where he didn't do much. But John Cena, outside of the last couple years where he hasn't really been around much, he was still the biggest thing in wrestling. Like, he was drawing in the
Until like
crowds. He
20.
was
Well, no, I don't know
winning
about
the title.
that. I think
Well,
Roman Reigns kind of took over halfway through the decade.
yeah, but then you're only talking half the time.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So if you're taking, you're saying half the time, that's why I said Omega and Okada aren't really in the equation because they're the
That's what I'm
last
saying, but
half.
that's why I'm saying John Cena's got to be in consideration, right? Because
Because he's the first half.
it's really only been a year and a half that John Cena hasn't been around.
Yeah, but
And
it's been more than that he hasn't been the top guy. Roman Reigns was the top guy for a while, as far as like booking
but
goes.
part of that reason was because of John Cena, right? Like, those things with Roman Reigns were those matches with John Cena, and it was John Cena putting him over that did it,
Could
right?
it be
Like,
Brock
that it could be, I guess, but then they had all that
Lesnar?
beginning time where Lesnar wasn't around either, right? Like,
That's only
that's
2 years
the
ago. That
challenge here, is that
would have been
you have to
2010 to
look at a full 10 years and go, who, what actual wrestlers wrestled for 10 years and were popular all 10 years?
AJ
And
Styles.
it's really hard to pick anybody but AJ Styles. Like,
Yep, 100% agree with you.
that's the deal.
Like I not again, not just looked good. There's a lot of guys that looked really, really good. Daniel Bryan looked really good and was even the top guy for a while, right? Seth Rollins was really good. It doesn't matter. Like no, you can look really good and still not be consistently like one of the top guys in every company you go to for 10 years. 100% had to be AJ Styles. Like I don't think anybody else. Maybe I'm just like we're not thinking about something, but like, I don't think anyone else is even close.
Yeah, I mean, even when you go back to the Shield debuting, that was 2012,
Yeah, that's 2 years already into the
right? So
decade.
there was no Rollins, there was no Roman Reigns, there was no Dean Ambrose. So any of those guys, you got to start from 2012, but even later, because it took 6 months for the Shield to really be the Shield, and then it took another 6 months to a year for those guys to break up and become stars on their own.
Yep.
So you're
And then you
like,
have to, and then who gets the real like benefit? Is it Dean Ambrose slash Jon Moxley who had a real lull even as champion? Is it Roman Reigns, who obviously people hate, and I would never call him the wrestler of the decade, unfortunately, despite being the top guy for what they wanted to be at least a few years. Seth Rollins obviously was their next top guy, and he's obviously faced his challenges too. And I again, like the Shield was great, But I don't know. I feel like for the last decade, none of them were the number one wrestler, right? So I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe it's unfair to say that AJ Styles wins by default because he absolutely deserves it.
Well, he wins by default because he did it. Like,
but yeah,
he was
that's
so
the
good.
Deal, right? Like, he's, there's so few
It
people.
Wasn't by default. It was a runaway.
Yeah, and mainly, well, I guess for two reasons. One, he's that good. And two, there's really no one else to compare him to because nobody else did straight 10 years. The only other person who's been around this whole time is The Undertaker, and he only wrestled once a year for like 5 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So you can't count him because he might be the biggest star in wrestling over the last 10 years, the biggest name, the household thing everybody knows, but he never wrestled, right? Like, and when he did, it wasn't very good. So it's like, you can't count him, right? So it's just, there's a lot of people that you might throw in there. And then when you look at it closer, you go, well, I can't put him in there because he didn't do this for 3 years and he didn't do that for, and he never wrestled, you know, like it just, so AJ Styles was just stay consistent through the whole thing. So yeah, absolutely. Deserving. Okay. I don't know, man, if there's anything else really that we got to cover other than maybe JBL going into the Hall of Fame. I think that's deserving. And, you know, that was not a surprise announcement by any means. Would you have preferred to see JBL go in with Ron Simmons, or are
No.
You glad that it's just JBL by himself?
Ron Simmons deserves to be in there at some point, but you have JBL, whether you love him or you hate him, the guy was. You know, he had obviously the APA and the Acolytes before that. He had the full, one of the best rebrands we've ever seen a wrestler have ever into that, you know, like the New York, Texas born, like stockbroker or like stock trading, whatever, like, you know, mogul championship for a year, which people hated, right? Like, people hated.
Well, he was
I loved
hated
it.
Because he was that good. He's like
I
Baron Corbin hated. You know what I mean? Like, you people hate Baron Corbin. But they totally are learning to respect Baron Corbin. People hated JBL, like hated him.
I loved that.
But you had to respect it because he wanted you to hate him. Like, it was absolutely his job to get as hated as he got. And he was good at it. Now, he was a real dick behind the scenes from everything that we've heard. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. There's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that probably don't deserve to be there based on their outside, you know, personal life stuff. But, at the same time, he's making up for it in a major way now.
But also, he had his commentary work. Like, the commentary work for a long time. He's really, really good as a color commentator.
He was the modern day Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, and like he's what Corey Graves is trying to be. Like it, even as far as like saying, "Oh, you guys are hypocrites." Like, if this was a good guy, you'd be fine with this. Because it's a bad guy, you guys hate him. Like, just be consistent. He was a heel, but he was also honest about a lot of stuff. And you're like, yeah, you know what? He's right. This makes sense, and it was just a really good character through and through. I agree, the backstage stuff sucks for him, probably not a good person, but man, he definitely deserves to be in there.
All right, before we let her go, what was the moment of the week for you of all the things we just discussed, of all the news and all the shows and all the segments on everything, the piece that you're gonna walk away from this week going, this was the best part of the week?
Jake Roberts return.
Yeah. Jake Roberts for sure was the winner, and we'll see where it goes because there's going to be a lot coming from it. Anyway, buddy, I'm going to let you go. We'll call it a week, and then we'll talk to you next week after Elimination Chamber's over.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, bud. We'll talk to you later. Thanks again. And with that, this has been another edition of the Smart Marks Wrestling Podcast presented by thesportster.com. We appreciate you downloading, listening, subscribing to it, and rating the show. Don't forget to leave us your feedback. Tune in every Monday for Talking Raw on facebook.com/thesportster. Wednesdays and Fridays, we've got the newscast reports. And then, of course, once a week, we got the podcast. So we appreciate you tuning in, and we will talk to you after Elimination Chamber.